Beyond.
On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are on this spinning blue globe, whizzing through space, perturbed by weird objects flying past it. It's busy out there these days. We narrowly avoided a Carrington event last night. There was a massive solar flare the other way. Anyway, 22nd of February, so it's 22 of the 2, It too is all about the heart center, love and energy of healing and vibrations. And to that end, I have invited onto the show a dear old friend. We hung out quite a few years ago in a completely different field, and here we are in another field. Actually, we've been in a few fields, haven't we? We have a few festivals that we actually literally stood in fields in the same field. Exactly. So that was quite fun. The years. Maybe I might find some of the old stuff, an old recording from one of our maybe both of our bands in the times. So yeah. I would like, without further ado, therefore, to introduce, as I said, he was a music manager, and as we've both kind of drifted away or expanded out of music, we both kind of moving into the vibrational healing energies of things, and I was very pleased to see that Mick had kind of got into this kind of stuff. So without any further ado, Michael Daly, how are you, Mike? Mick, what can I call you these days? What do I call it?
Whatever you want. Michael's fine. Michael to my friend.
Lovely. Oh, it's lovely to have you. It's lovely to hear your voice again. And if anybody's got any problems, I will translate because Michael comes from Paisley. And, you know, this is an old voice. You may remember, I got him to do a special jingle for Sean, who I do a production for on some weekdays, and so I got him to do a special thing. You might recognise this guy's voice.
Hi out there, you're listening to Sean David Martin.
Do you remember Jerry? That's Jerry. Anyway, yeah. Long story.
A blast from the past,
indeed. So, like I said, we were standing in a field probably last time we spoke. You were managing a band. You were managing a couple of bands. I was actually playing in a band and being lead guitar and singer and stuff. You also used to organize these events in Paisley and invite myself and my girlfriend at the time down because I was like in her band. We would play and you'd organize these gigs for us. And it was a great experience. And I really want to thank you for schlepping us down there. I mean, it was a really long drive, massively long drive, and we were exhausted at the end. But it was a really great atmosphere, and it was lovely. We were welcomed and loved, and it was a beautiful thing to do in this lovely old church that had been converted in the middle of Paisley. So, do you want to start from there? Because that's where we lost it. So you were managing, you were doing the thing. What's been going on?
Well, there's a lot's happened in the last several years. When we first, you and I first met, I was obviously running the music at the Arts Centre in Paisley, and I was managing the band Silver, who were a really good bunch of lads that were playing some great music at the time, and they were all very talented. And I, as I say, there was Paisley, where I lived, was just obviously the economics of the place and everything all dying down, and there was so much depression going on. So I thought, well, the best way to actually try and up the mood of Paisley and getting people back into it would be with music. So I decided to try and I started off running a bar with the bands, which we'd done for the Make-A-Wish project, which was obviously for poor kids that were with terminal illnesses, and trying to, you know, kind of grant a wish for them. And we managed to get a boy from where I live at the moment in Gallowhill to go to Florida before the soul died. But as I say, this seemed to have taken off, and people started to go, you know, we need to get something going in Paisley, you know, and something regular. Because there was a lot, there was things going on, but there was artists weren't paid any money at all. And the venues had basically got the artists with a short and curly, so to speak. And, you know, they were playing for beer, or they were playing for nothing, or they were selling tickets. And, you know, a lot of musicians, including myself, were getting really peeved with this. So we thought, right, let's do something positively, and let's try and get the venues. So we managed to get Andy at the Art Centre, who was absolutely brilliant at the time, and we managed to get, you know, we'd run it on a Tuesday evening and a Saturday afternoon, and it started to grow. And sadly, again with the economic decline, councils and a lot of bureaucracy and just general corruption, they decided to, you know, cut back and not have the music. And they would have like PlayStation afternoons, and it was ridiculous, you know. And the music, you know, I was up against a lot of problems at the time with it, and fighting councils. And, you know, the thing is about fighting something's not a great thing, because it's not good for your health. And I found that out. Because I had ended up with a tumour in my leg, which turned out to be a soft tissue sarcoma. And I went through a pretty dark place. It was a very dark place, getting told you had the big C, so to speak. And I was, you know, very traumatic at the time, and I was friends were starting to kind of avoid me. And, you know, not to you say, like, woe is me, but, you know, people don't know what to say. No, they really don't know what to say. But at that time, there was a musician had approached me, Alan Murphy, who I don't know if you remember him, JP.
Oh, yes. Alan was very much into the John Martin style of singing. Yeah, I remember him. He's very much... Yeah, that kind of thing. Of course, John Martin, comes from... He was Glaswegian, was he?
Yeah.
So, he wasn't like putting on a sort of fake foreign style. It was very much like a style of the town. Yeah. Here for... in a kind of folk context, it's electric. Yeah. But, so go on.
Well, I had said to Alan at the time, I had called him just to tell him what was happening, and I said, you know, I really can't go on with the management, and because it's taking too much out of me. And I told him what had happened, and basically what the doctor had told me. So he asked to meet me, and I said, yeah, no problem, you know. So I met him at the Art Centre, and I thought he was going to say, keep on managing and keep it going and stay strong. And I knew, you know, when you get a thing like that happen, there's things that you do have to let go. You have to say, no, I'm stopping this, I'm stopping that, you know. And so anyway, Alan had met with me, and he went on to tell me about the apricot kernels and the vitamin B17, and how his brother had taken them, and he gave them to his wife, brother had kept horses, and he gave them to his horse, and put it in the nose bag sort of thing. And the horse had actually tumours in its face, and they turned black and fell off because it was getting the vitamin B17 from the apricot kernel. So I was to go and see my oncologist, and I told the oncologist that I was going to refuse any radiation chemotherapy because the research I've done is, there's not great results, basically, and I realised then, I'd found out that it was, you know, as much as 90% of doctors, oncologists themselves, refused chemotherapy. So I would not in any way take it. So I thought I would go down the natural route. So obviously the apricot kernels, I did have the surgery to get it removed, which was botched, which is another story. It was a really dark place, and, you know, head was all over the place at the time, as you can imagine.
Yeah, well, the chemo does that, doesn't it? I mean, you can't think clearly. I mean, you're basically being poisoned from the inside to try and kill something that's actually the result of some other situation. So how did you get around it, Mick? I mean, when you saw you saw how you were treated. I think that was important, that you had to go through all these processes, because you had to know what people are going through in order to get sympathy and understanding, empathy for them.
Yeah, you certainly do. And I mean, you know me, Jim, I'm not the kind of person that would go and ask for sympathy in places, you know, and I'm not like that. And I really do try to stay strong, because, you know, I had kids, and I was bringing them up myself. And, you know, and again, that was tough going, so I had to stay strong for the children. But, you know, when I was, you know, speaking to friends, because, I mean, a lot of friends, they've gone now, you know, they've gone away, and luckily, I met, you know, a lovely woman, Claudia, who's been an absolute rock for me over the years, you know, she's really stood by me in every way. But as I say, it was just really tough going, and the way I was treated with people was, as you say, it's something that you have to go through to be able to understand it. Now, as time went on, I started to recover. I was recovering through nutrition. Then, later on, a few years later, discovered a melanoma in my back. So that was not a great deal of fun either. There was a biopsy that had been done, and they said, you know, there were those precancerous cells there, and I thought, right, okay, right, fine. So then I went down the natural route again. I would not take chemotherapy at all. So I constantly looked at my diet, stopped eating processed foods, and I was only eating, regularly taking the apricot kernels. Since then, I would tell people about it, and I've known people who have died of cancer. I've told them all about it. They ignore it. But you know what it's like, JP. You know, you tell people things, and they go, yeah, but you're not a doctor, you know. For years, I had always wanted to be able to study medicine. Now, a lot of kind of work ethics and, you know, people keeping you down, you know, parents, all sorts of things. And they would say, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. So you're going through life and you're thinking, well, I'm not capable of doing this. So I believe that now, actually, after waking up to a lot of things, I realise that you can do anything you want, you know. And at the moment, you know, I'm continuing my studies. I decided to study to become a naturopath. I'm continuing my study just now, and I've teamed up with a wonderful practitioner, Karen, who's had about 25 years of experience. I went to study in Spain under Dr. Matthew Manu, and he taught me all about it. He showed me the sensitive imago system, which is a bioresonance therapy machine.
Okay, hang on a second. Can you say that really slowly? Because this is a really important moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. As I was saying, I went along to Spain, where I studied bioresonance therapy.
Who did you study with?
Dr. Masi Manu. He was a Nigerian educated doctor. Was educated in the UK, but born in Nigeria. And he has got a clinic in Alicante, in Spain, which has been going for about 2 years now and is very successful. And he's helped, when I was over there in my training, I was watching people day, and JP, days from death. These people were days from death. And they would just be treated with, whether it be the bioresonance therapy itself, or, to get rid of certain bacteria, or else they would be given a metabolic cleanse through nutrition. And these people are still walking today. Now, these were people that were given up, the allopathic medicine, your mainstream medicine had given up on these people after taking pieces from them, taking parts of their organs. And they're still going about today. So it's really, when I really look about me and I see what's going on in allopathic medicine, and I feel that, doctors they're dedicated people. Doctors and nurses, they've done some great work and they really believe what they're doing. But I feel now that some of them are becoming part of the problem. Because far too many people are actually dying because they're getting therapies that don't work. Not just in cancer and other things. They're just getting all this therapy that doesn't work. And obviously, yourself, JP, you've obviously known people, and we all have, that have lost loved ones, And we've all got a story to tell when it comes to certain errors that have happened in hospitals, where people blame politicians for something that goes wrong, but the politician's not the person wearing the stethoscope, and the arrogance sometimes that we're up against, if you understand what I mean.
There's so many issues that you brought up there. The one thing is trust. When we were kids, we were justified in trusting those in authority. They were in authority and they had things handled. But everything's broken down now, and nothing is what it used to be. It's all now commercial. It's all corporate. It's all connected with this corporate Nazi state that is not about making us better, but about controlling us. For instance, medicine is about controlling symptoms and not whole health. It's just, psychiatrists and doctors are really licensed drug pushers. And they don't even know like you said, there are many, 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 many doctors, nurses, medical professionals who are totally 100% acting from the heart and doing exactly the right thing. But doctors are tired. They're lazy. Everybody's lazy, really, like journalists and doctors. They're all lazy. And if somebody can say, well, look, if your patients have got this, give them this, oh, by the way, would you like that holiday? Would you like another holiday like you had last year? Oh, yeah, very much. Well, yeah, here, have two packets. Give them two packets. That's great. The more people you can give these to, the more holidays you're going to get. You like golf, don't you?
Exactly. Here's some shiny new golf clubs.
Yeah, apparently Obama's played more golf than Tiger Woods officially. But anyway, no, I'm not kidding. That's a real statistic. Anyway, but I know that's completely off topic. But what I'm getting to is that all of this goodwill and authority that we gave to people in the past, like doctors and police and all that stuff, that's all now breaking down. trust is breaking down. But I think the marvelous thing about this is that, like you and like me, people have started to take their healing and their medicine into their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, nobody's a better expert on Mick Daly than Mick Daly, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the same way. Everyone knows their own body. But this is what we are aiming to do in the clinic that we're going to be opening. Because what we want to do is bring empowerment to people, you know, because people have said, you know, I have a headache, or I have a cold, or I have a flu, or whatever, and they go, you know, the backache, there's so many ailments, and they say, I'll have to go back to my doctor, they give them one drug, doesn't work, they go back, you know, and you think, if you were to go to a mechanic, and they was to put the diesel, or put the wrong oil in, and the engine seized up, or, you know, it done something wrong, I mean, what? You would obviously fire him. You say, I'm not going back to this guy, I'm going to go out mechanic and all this stuff, but people constantly, they go back to the doctor because it's a conditioning. You know, everyone has been conditioned into saying, oh, that's the person that knows best. You know? And the likes of that kind of medicine, there is room for it. Of course there's room for it because, you know, the trauma medicine, for example, they're doing some great work. You know what? It's incredible work. And it's like, it's, you know, short of miraculous, some of the work that they're doing. But when it comes to chronic disease, you're hearing so many stories about fibromyalgia, which is, you know, that is probably one of the top disease, because you hear that every second person that you know, oh, yeah, so-and-so's got, or this other person I know's got fibromyalgia, and you and I, you know, I don't know, he put up a recent post, remember, Lou Bear?
Yeah, that's it, actually, whenever I see fibromyalgia posts, I always post them to Lou, because, again, Lou's a friend of ours from this period of time, and he's been suffering from it and kind of working on it, and, you know, and you know what he's discovered? It's all about what he's been eating. It's all about the diet, and he's been eating, he just ate tons of meat because that was what people ate where he grew up. And that's what you do. You eat what you, and, you know, even if everybody is dropping dead around you from cancer, you still go on eating it? Really? Better look at the signs. But, go ahead. Fibromyalgia, it's one of these modern diseases, you know, you never used to get it. Or it's a very rare disease. And now it seems to be like, oh, how come everybody's got it? I have a personal theory of it. What's your take on it?
Well, mine's is obviously the diet, the GMO foods. There's a lot of, you know, other things that looks like, you know, problems are Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is a big problem. We've actually found that the scans when I was over in Spain, there was so many people were reacting to electromagnetic energy. You know, reacting so, and people saying, oh, where did you keep your mobile phone? Oh, I keep it in my pocket. I must admit, I've been guilty of this myself. But, you know, they keep it in their pocket, they keep it in the room, switched on while they're sleeping, and they're wondering why they're getting very lethargic and depressed. And that is basically one of the problems that we're actually finding with the bioresonance scanning. That and the diet and the certain additives that are finding in the food, aspartame is another one that's obviously, as you're aware of, that's in everything. Everything that's got, they say, is no added sugar, aspartame's in there. So there's a myriad of things that, whether it be in the food, whether it be in the air, whether it be heavy metals, which are coming over for the chemtrails, you know, there's so many things that what we're finding is when treating, when the doctors are basically named disease, like you have a chronic disease in a person, and people get this idea that a disease is just something that everyone gets and they get it the same way. Now, everyone is different, so the most important thing to do is treat the person. So whether you're coming up with a diet plan for the person, or, you know, whatever the treatment that you're going to give them, it's individual treatment. It's not a case of naming a disease or a family history, or because people have been fooled also the genetics. I've even heard someone saying, oh, fibromyalgia, it's genetic. I'm saying, that's odd. I bet your great-grandmother never had fibromyalgia because it never blooming existed. You know? Not at that time anyway. You know, but they're told, they just, you know, they're told the doctors because it's just guesswork with them. You know, and they say, oh, you get fibromyalgia, how long have I got it? You know, can I cure it? No, you've got it for the rest of your life. It's probably a bad gene. And you're like, you know, you think to yourself, no, there's no such thing as a bad gene, there's a mutated gene. But you're probably that it's all about epigenetics nowadays. You know, and they've discovered it's epigenetics. It's like, no one is a victim of their genes. You know, you can switch genes on and off, that many physicians have done. You know, are doing medicine today, you know. So, you know, as I say, my whole take on it is there's a whole myriad of different things or causes that we have to get at the bottom of to help people.
So, Mick, the growth of fibromyalgia and all of these weird diseases. I call them weird diseases because they're not, you know, people used to get them, but like it was like 1 in 20 million. It was just an enormous, an enormous factor that you couldn't possibly get these things. And suddenly they seem to be coming up. And yet we've got all these other influences. You know, we got, as you say, GM food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the four main sounds like the Spanish Inquisition. The four main things that we're being poisoned by, and here's my personal theory. We got some solutions here at Wolf Spirit as well, but my personal thing is that yeast is one of the largest killers of this planet. And that yeast was given to us by the quote gods unquote of Egypt, and now, you know, through, like, we're all starting to discover that these guys are not really gods; they're just buggers. They're horrible, big. They're just big, ugly bruisers, you know, who just bully everybody. And they gave us this stuff as a sort of nanotechnology that would keep us all in line. And we all say, "Oh, beer, all bread." It's our right to have beer and bread. Great, as a slave, yes. Uh-huh. Because beer and bread will keep you enslaved. Because what happens is that yeast doesn't just pass through your body, it stays in your body. And if you've had antibiotics or something like that will break down your gut flora, this yeast can start growing in your body. And it produces fibers. Huh? Fibro. You know, it produces fibers, and you eat sugar, and you feed this, and it's growing. It's not just in your guts, it's all over your body. It ends up, you know, in other moist areas and becomes what they call candida in your mouth, in your other places. And and yet nobody connects it with the yeast that we've been eating day after day after day. So, in my part of my spiritual growth, I received the transmission from my guides a couple of years ago, said, you got to start thinking about going vegan. You got to stop eating death. Yeah. And then I got this little mantra, meat, wheat, sweet. So I first of all stopped eating meat, which wasn't at all difficult. I mean, I started feeling very sick when I thought about eating food, so eating meat. Mm-hmm. So I gave that up, and then I stopped eating bread. And I have to tell you, Mick, this probably one of the strongest decisions of my life, to stop eating bread. Yeah. It's hard when you're walking around a supermarket, but it's all right when you're sitting at home. I eat rice cakes. But going back to the candida thing, I believe that it's almost a deliberate infection of humanity from these not very nice people for a long time, you know. But so one of our issues, and then when you start combining that with GMO wheat, that's when the stuff really starts to kick in. and start, and that's why people are getting these diseases more and more and more, because of the GMOs. The other thing, the EMF thing, we have a solution for it, and I'll talk about that in a little while, Nick. But we here at Wolf Spirit Radio, we use a material called shungite, and I'll tell you all about it. So first of all, yeah, fibromyalgia, yeast, what do you think?
Well, it's a very sincere, and it's, you know, and you know, you may be right. The yeast, yeah, there's a connection there with the gluten, right? Because gluten is something that we really, another thing, let's blame the Egyptians, right? Because they're responsible for this whole gluten thing as well. Because it was like when they're storing grain, for, you know, during like bad seasons, and people are, excuse me, you know, basically to survive, and that's all well and good, but the gluten is something, because it's obviously, you know, a string of amino acids, and to break down, you know, so that basically the villi in the gut can't break down the proteins because of the whole string of amino acids, so the villi start to die down, so you end up with a problem. So again, as you were saying also, JP, it's like the problems become, you know, that appear in the gut are quite substantial. The also the Candida, that's something that we've actually treated with bioresonance therapy. With 10 sessions managed to get rid of Candida in a patient's gut. After 10 sessions, the Candida was completely gone. You know, so there's so many things that we can do with the bioresonance therapy, that right down to, obviously there's been cases of people with certain cancers that have disappeared, but because of the 1939 Cancer Act, you can't treat cancer. That's the thing. You're not allowed to treat it.
That's right. But you can treat Candida.
You can treat Candida.
So, and you can say Candida. Can.
Yeah. Can.
Can and other things that begin with can. So, because, again, it's all about more about control than it is about wholeness and healing. And, you know, people in their innocence believe that the government is here to look after them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really, if you if you want to get an idea of what the government's attitude is towards us, think about how a farmer feels about his sheep. Now, you live in Scotland, you know that farmers really don't care about their sheep. They, you know, if they're out in the snow or not, one of them dies in the field, they just, you know, they just slip it off and you know, burn it. But it's just nothing. It's you know, they don't really care about their sheep. They don't name them. They don't give them individual consciousness. You know, it's just a thing. And that is how they consider us, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, well, effectively, yeah, because when you're looking at I don't know if you're aware, I mean, like, so the birth certificate, now that's a very, very interesting one, because the birth certificate is actually a death certificate, let's say.
That's right, and it labels a corpse.
Exactly. So when you hear all those stories of doctors harming people, right? They doing nothing happen. People say, oh, something ought to be, law, there ought to be. Yeah, there may be. But legally, they haven't harmed a living soul. That's how they get away with it. You know, that's an alarming thing. And that's
because the patient is not a living soul.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So it's, you know, that's how they get away with it. And,
technical jiggery pokery, eh?
Pretty much. It's, I mean, you look at you could go on forever with it, but the court system, you know, what's a court to you? Yeah, a court is, everyone is meant to a level playing field, but when you walk into a court, it's not a level playing field at all, is it? It's like you've got the judge up there. What does magistrate mean? It means a magician, basically. You know, it's all about wordplay. you know, it's all about wordplay. It's cruel. It's just cruel the way people are treated. And what we want to do is be and take by talking to them about, you know, not necessarily that their medical history, but, you know, help them with nutrition, help them with, you know, with exercise plans. Karen is an exceptional hypnotherapist and a Reiki master as well. So there's so much that the clinic can, you know, we can actually offer. And obviously through the two bioresonance machines, we've got the sensitive imago coming from the UK hopefully in the next month or so. And at the moment we're using the energy nano system, which was developed by in Germany, like most of them are, and it's had some incredible results. You know, this is when we've actually used the laser pen on the certain meridians of the body. Again, it's
you're using 660 nanometers.
Yep, exactly.
Because that's another number, but 660 nanometers is a specific frequency for the body. It's been well researched. I'm trying to find that festival that we did, the Mosset, all those years ago, and to see if I can dig out a song of yours. So we can take a wee break. Well, I want to play a lot of music in the show, just because, you know, we've got a few things that we...
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, so if you want to talk about... the bioresonance machine is something that I came across a few years ago. I first of all actually heard about it on internet radio. And then back in 2012, a friend of mine was actually working in a local healing center, and I would go in there, and I was working the I was doing my ray readings while they were doing bioresonance healings, and I saw them operating it and saw the thing of it. I've been studying vibrational medicine since 2005. I don't know if you were aware, but using acoustics. You can do this thing, you know, the bioresonance does it on the kilohertz and megahertz scale.
Yeah.
But you can also do it in the audio scale. And I've got various interviews with Shari Edwards on that. She's the major pioneer on this thing. Myself and my audience are not unfamiliar with vibrational healing. So. Yeah. Specifically, do you want to talk about what the bioresonance machine does, how it feels when you're doing it? I'll see if I can find some of, at least I'd love to find a silver track, if not some Lindsay Dolan. I'll get it off YouTube if I can. Silver were great, yeah, but when Lindsay came along, because she basically took part of Silver and became the Lindsay Dolan band, so... She got the cream of these players. Fantastic guys. I mean, real great people to hang out with. You know, good fun. Really good laugh. Just talk a bit about the bioresonance machine, and I'll bring up some tunes.
Yeah, sure. Well, I first came across the resonance over to Spain to meet when I'd heard all about it, I thought, well, this is Star Trek medicine. You know, this is something that you would expect Dr. McCoy to do. And I thought, I was very skeptical, to be honest with you. And I actually remember you telling me about the frequencies and healing frequencies when I came to visit yourself up north. And I remember you actually playing some of the, down. But when I went to Spain, as I said, I was very skeptical. And when I actually sat in on the first scan, just before I began my training, I thought, my God, this is incredible. It just completely blew my mind. And every day I learn about it. And when I realised that this is something that it can take every known blood test without taking a drop of blood, no needles, you know, and you think, ideally, that's what everyone in, should want, you know. And I thought to myself, why isn't this in every hospital, you know? And then I thought, and this is, yes, of course, profit pharmaceutical companies don't like the thought of healing somebody with frequency when they can be giving them chemicals. So when I was finding out that you could, you know, detection of the diseases of the body, there was, you know, you could actually do pre-pathology 1 to 5 years, you could find out diseases of the past, you could do, you know, hormone biochemical analysis of all the enzymes in the body, and do it at a cellular level.
So hang on a second. Mick, let's just break that down a little bit, because what you're talking about is a machine that, without any invasion whatsoever, aside from holding a couple of electrodes, you know, a couple of, basically hold a couple of metal rods in your hand. They're you know, stainless steel. They're very comfortable to hold. It's not, you know, freezing. Once you're, you know, once the machine kind of hooks up to you, what it does, it tests, it basically runs through a series of frequencies. It basically does this. And goes right up through every frequency. And if your body has a sensitivity to it, it will ring like a bell. It will ring like a resonance. You know, because that's what resonance, that's what bioresonance means. So basically, for instance, if, you know, people, if you listen to this, many people will resonate to this. If I play that note there, I've done it all. This is my 432 hertz tuning fork. But if I play that, people resonate to that. Yeah. Now, that frequency resonates your heart, right? And if you scale up these, you slide up these frequencies and just, what it will do, it will resonate with every single system in your body, because each system has its own octave, and it will respond, it will look at every different sub-function within each of those systems, because they will be the notes within that octave. Because everything is music, isn't it?
Yes.
Music is medicine, it's magic. So basically what the resonance machine does is every time it hears your body sing back, it makes a note. All right, yeah, I did that, and it had this response. And then once it's done the sweep, which takes, you know, 20 minutes or so, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, 20 minutes to happen.
Yeah. What it will do, it will report to the practitioner all the places where the body sang, and presumably also how much it sang back. And from that, you've got charts that will lead you to then being able to inject, because again, you don't need medicine. You just need the vibration, you know, because
the vibration.
In a way, the way I see this, Mick, is you know, in a garage, when you take your car in, you want the wheels, your steering's bad, and they balance the wheel. So basically, they stress the wheel by spinning it really fast, and they see where the wheel comes off balance. And then they put a little weight, an appropriate weight, on the opposite side in order to balance its spin. And that's essentially what the bioresonance does in each of the octaves of the human system. When it gives, you know, so you get the thing, you see the list of frequencies, and then it will recommend a treatment, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. For example, of, you know, it's the liver. The liver. The liver vibrates at, it's about 4 to 450 hertz, right? Once it goes to about 5 to 600, right, that's when we're actually pinpointing cirrhosis of the liver. And then you can determine the treatment, you know, for that. So what the system is, we look at systems. So there's like the four systems. And first of all, we'd look at numbers between 1 and 500, right? If you get numbers below 500, that's when you know there's something, you know, serious, you know, going on. And then the lower the number is, the, you know, the more serious the problem is, whether it be in the organ or, in this musculoskeletal system. So that's how we can actually pinpoint, you know, the problems. But as you explained it, Jeremy, you know, it's definitely, that's exactly how bioresonance works.
I think I've got it down. I mean, because basically it's expressing the principle as, instead of an acoustic frequency, it's expressing it as an electrical representation of the acoustic frequency, which is like essentially the signal that goes to a pair of speakers before it gets made into sound by the speakers or the headphones.
Yep.
So now I've found a tune of what it was is at the venue that we were talking about before, the Paisley Arts Center. Which was called Reds, it says here.
Yeah, that's right.
And so this is a track which is features me on backing vocals and guitar. I hope it's not terrible. It was kind of about track five in the gig, and I think we managed to get it, because the second track I've got I think the track was supposed to be called What We've Become. And
I remember that song, Mel.
And the title that I gave it on the recording was "What the F is this?" I'm sure you've been in that kind of band. Anyway, Maria Hall and myself, "Home to the Highlands." It's her original song, beautiful song. Let's hope it's a good version of it.
Thank you.
And welcome back. That was Home to the Highlands by Maria Hall and myself playing at Mike Mix Club. What was that, 7 years ago? I can't remember exactly when that was.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd also like to welcome Scottish Sovereigns on the Land, .ning.com. It's all Scotland here tonight. It's great.
Hey.
Yeah. I took over the station last July after Dave Corso died. He lived in Nevada. We'd been doing the station together for years, but we're now starting to get a lot more of this truth movement kind of stuff. I don't like to call it a movement, because every time there is a movement, it's always hijacked. You know, you always get the Russell Brands of this world trying to become leaders of this thing.
Yeah.
But essentially, this is about people empowering themselves. There's no leader. We're all leaders. Everybody's a leader. You're a leader in your own life. So pioneering, getting this information out, is, I think, that's part of why I'm here. What do you think?
Oh yeah, without, you know, I myself have been involved with activism, as they call it, and I was burned by it. You know, I was a member of a local, like the Socialist Party, and I believed in people were, you know, had a right to, you know, to afford things, you know, and I felt for people who afford it. Put power cards in their homes, and you know, I looked at the, you know, there was so much poverty, and it was wrong. You know, it was so wrong. And so I joined the party, and then I watched they get MSPs, they got people into parliament. I became a regional organizer, and I watched it fall apart. I watched people change once they got into their comfort zone, sitting in the parliament, getting, you know, more money than they've ever had in any of their jobs. And I saw them, you know, became part of the system. So I believe the current paradigm shift that we're all going through, I personally believe that we've got to get the message for government politics. To me, doesn't wash in me anymore. You know, it's like, I think we have to empower ourselves, and even if it comes to medicine, if it comes to politics, if it comes to education, matter is empower
ourselves. All right, Mick, we're breaking up a bit, and I've found another piece of your music. Guess what I found? Some Kind of Movie.
that's the one I was on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my goodness.
So this is Mick Daly himself. Are you singing on this?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yep.
Some Kind of Movie.
just get on up and let it go. Dig your cutie, always shining. Steer it up, freestyle and let it go.
Oh my God, that was absolutely brilliant. I mean, really, I mean, it's, you know, I remember, you know, I didn't remember your voice to be that good, so I'm really pleased to play that. That was Mick with Silver. Now, what I'm trying to do is find Lindsay Dolan, who is basically the same band with a different singer. Stuff happens like that, and you became the manager, and
yeah,
they're really good. But so what? There was one track that I can't remember the name of, but it was like a big, the kind of big number. Can you remember what it was?
How to feel?
Yeah, how to feel. Learning how to feel. I'll do a search for that. So that was awesome, Mick. That was you with Silver, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a jam session in Glasgow, and we were just mucking about. You know, it's like some of the best songs have ever been written, you know, were written in just a few minutes, and it was just a digital thing you take and edit, and it was absolute. You know, I loved it, but it's probably the best one I've ever done, to be honest with you. Because I was more into the kind of singing melancholy songs, probably the mood it was in at the time, but I enjoyed that very much.
And it was wonderful to hear it again. As I said, it's been a long time. Now, I don't know if you remember, this is how my radio career started, actually, is that my girlfriend Maria and I, Maria, we were all part of this, it started out as a MySpace acoustic forum. Ah, here we are, I've found it. The MySpace acoustic forum that kind of then took on a life of its own, It was like, it's just a, you know, a regular forum, but between musicians, and we started communicating all across the country and across from the States and here. And so we formed this kind of international group of independent musicians. We started promoting each other, and then we did a few gatherings, actually putting on festivals or putting on, we put on a stage at a few festivals. And this is one of the reasons that we have indeed stood in Wellies in a muddy field for several times, many times. Yeah. It's like, that's how life used to be. You know, life is not a glamorous rock and roll band. Most of the time it's Wellies and mud.
There have been some great things, really. It was superb. I remember, you know, seeing, you know, obviously it was Shu Nakamura and all the rest of the guys up there. It was, I loved, especially Belladrum. Belladrum was probably one of the, you know, like I said, you've had some great talent there, and they weren't like all like mainstream acts, but the community spirit, you couldn't beat it. You really couldn't get it there. It was absolutely superb.
That's right, because, I mean, for instance, you mentioned Belladrum. Belladrum is a big festival. Well, I mean, it's a medium-sized festival. Yeah. It's not as big as Glastonbury Festival, but it's on this kind of very rich guy's private estate in Bewley near Inverness. So it's in the Highlands of Scotland in August, which is, you know, it's dicey, but if you do it in August, you know you've got a good percentage of chance that it's not going to pee down all weekend. And in fact, the festival we were at, I've got this photo. It was indeed peeing down all weekend, and just before the show we were about to do was about to start, there was a perfect rainbow above the stage as the guys were setting it up. I've got a photograph of it on my Facebook, all the way back from 2008. And then, you know, it was really still rather overcast and cloudy, and I said to everybody, okay, look at the sky. See that little bit of blue over there? Let's see if we can make that piece of blue expand so it covers the sky and we get a nice sunny afternoon. And I'm not kidding. We did our set. Yeah. We walked off the set in blazing sunshine.
Because this is where it
all started, because I walked off stage having made some announcement, and then I get a tap on my shoulder, you know, hello. I say, hello, is your name Jeremy? I said, yeah. Oh, I recognize your voice from the radio. And I tell you, that moment said to me, that's it, boy. That's your career. Okay, so, and really, because I had no confidence in my voice, and nobody, I'd never even thought that it was at all, you know, unique or interesting or anything, and she was the first person that ever said, oh, I like your voice. So you can blame Evelyn for that. Evelyn Sullivan, it's all your fault. So that was the beginning of my radio career, and it was through this network that you and I were part of, and the Lindsay Dolan Band. And it was fantastic in the time that we had, and for the energy that, I mean, like you said, we're talking about Lou, who was another member of the network, who was very ill and got ill with fibromyalgia. We've all, you know, I've been through breakups and all this stuff. So, and, you know, everybody's had their lives in between. And now we're in the healing zone. Having parted with frequency, we're now healing with frequency. And so you're dealing with bioresonance, but without it being too much of an advert for your thing, but at the same time, you can use this as a promotional conversation. If you want to take segments out of it and put it on your site, that'll be fine as well. It will. So I'd like you to talk about the other aspects of it, if you like, the more, you know, hardcore, the chemicals, the extracts, and all that stuff, because I'm quite interested I want to grow my teeth back.
Right. So, I mean, there's so many. I mean, you're talking about this. things out just now, it's like you've got the fibroblast growth factors that was in the laminin, which is available, which I don't do laminin anymore because the powers that be equally don't want things opened up in the UK. It's very difficult to get it, so they basically got to jump through hoops. However, I have been working with a great group of people who introduced me to the StemTech products, which is basically the EFA and the Fucoidin. And what this does, it actually helps, you know, produce the bone marrow. See the stem cells, bone marrow.
Hey, Mick. Mm-hmm. Mick, you remember that phone number I gave you?
Yeah.
Is it possible you could call it, because the Skype is terrible. I think you're cutting out, and it's, you know, you'd probably get a much better thing on Skype. So let me put on another tune, because we do between the two of us in those years we put out a lot of music, you know, really a lot. So let's put on Lindsay's number while you call me back, and we'll continue this and we'll get a nice clear signal from you. Okay, so here's the Lindsay Dolan Band with Learning How to Feel. Learn how to feel. Enjoy it. It's beautiful.
And my fingers burn before. I've always jumped into feet, not knowing all there is to know. Building walls before anything begins. I'm the girl with the badge that you're reading and you're way too close. I'm like the soul in the corner, tried and close, imaginary love knows. Don't remember being given.
I need to find it.
Well, I hope that sent shivers down your spine, because it certainly did mine. That was the Lindsay Dolan Band, Learn How to Feel. If, you know, this should be, you know what? That should be in a movie. You know,
yeah,
somebody put that in a movie. Actually, I know a guy who puts music in movies. Maybe I'll send it to him. You know, because that is, it's a classic song that nobody has ever heard, and nobody ever will if we don't do anything about it. Anyway, Lindsay Dolan Band.
It's the kind of the song that you could hear, and you know, the end of a, you know, like one of these Grey's Anatomy, ironically enough, you know, and at the end of one of theirs, because they play a lot of songs by UK artists like Foy Vance, for example, who I saw as well. He's a phenomenal artist. You know, it could have been something. They really could have been something, but again, it's always so near but yet so far when it comes to the Scots, isn't it, sometimes?
Yes, indeed. Actually, there's another one that I want to play later, which is Maria's song, Keep Away. You remember the one that I did with the sound like a theremin?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I'm gonna pop that on in a little while. I mean, it's not the most positive tune, but it's really cool and mysterious sounding. I like it. So,
that's good, though. That's good.
Now we're back, and you're nice and clear. So let's talk about some of the more the less frequency based and the more kind of supplement based and things that you've been learning about. Because, for instance, I've been learning about vitamin D3 over the last few years. After I left Maria and I moved in with my sort of brother-in-law, and he had he's got a little green business of you know, green products, and one of them is vitamin D3 in vegetarian capsules. I have not had one cold since I've started taking vitamin D. In fact, this morning I woke up and I was really grockling. There's a Scottish word for you, grockling. I was really grockling, and I took about two great big sort of pills of this stuff. And I'm feeling great now. My throat isn't sore anymore, and I'm a little, you know, what you get is you get a little bit of a snivel in the evening, and then you feel better in the morning. So, what have you been getting into? Because you know, if I've been getting into this stuff, you must have been getting into something.
Yeah, of course. You know, well, what I do take a lot of is the start of before I started taking the SC2, the Stem Enhance. I still take a lot of selenium, which you may know is a trace mineral, and it's probably the most important trace mineral that we could actually take, because studies have shown that if 200 micrograms of selenium, if every single woman was to take that, breast cancer would be cut down by 86%. Also, lung cancer, 69%, even if you're a smoker. And there's, you know, prostate cancer, 63%. There are so many different types of cancer that would be cut down because of the trace mineral selenium. Selenium is also the essential mineral for your thyroid function. It's also the essential mineral for the gut. So many things in the body. And it's something that I do. So, I mean, it's something that's cheaper than dirt, as Dr. Peter Glidden once put it. And it's, you know, you can get this trace mineral. It's supposed to be in the soil, but because, as we've discussed, the chemtrails, all sorts of problems with the soil, and it's so depleted, the selenium is not very high, especially in the, you get high levels of selenium if there's affluent areas, but in your sort of, you know, your poorer areas, the selenium is very depleted in the soil. What does that tell you? But the thing is, it's such an important mineral, and everyone really should be taking it. I take a lot of that. I make sure, you know, we all take it. My wife takes it, Claudia. My mother even takes it. She had a stroke a couple of years ago. She takes selenium now, and I managed to get her off these awful statins,
which we could maybe go into a little bit later, which is it's such a horrible drug that no one should be on. That's another pharmaceutical moneymaker, you know, that's so all that is. You know, it's an awful thing. But as I say, but what I do is I take the SC2, which is a Stem Enhance, which is produced by Stemtec, and it's basically for adult stem cells to go throughout the body and help migrate throughout the body, and it helps. There's more stem cells, you know, it actually helps millions of stem cells go through. You know, go all over the body, and you obviously know what stem cells actually do. Now, there was obviously a lot of controversy over stem cells, when, you know, various, like, for the church and other religious groups have actually said, you know, that it was evil and it was taking the cells of newborn babies, as aborted babies, and it was wrong, and it's something that has been. It's so good for modern medicine. It is part of the future of modern medicine, and it's something that it's another thing that everyone should really be taking, as to something that's as nutrition that's natural, all natural nutritional supplements, because basically your body needs about 90 vitamins and minerals all mixed again together every single day. And it's impossible to get it for food. Even if you are on a raw food diet and you're juicing, which is brilliant, but there's so many, you must, everyone must supplement, whether it would be through capsule or whether it would be, you know, colloidal. But it's vitally important for everyone to supplement. So basically, at the clinic, we've kind of handpicked a lot of, you know, through different studies, who we can actually give really, really good supplementation, whether it be through Douglas Laboratories that are, you know, based in Holland and in Germany, and who do some incredible supplements, and also the through Stemtec. I'll be working a lot with in the future, and I'll be posting some stuff to you about that, and anyone else that's interested, I can certainly send them off some information. And also the UCLA supplements, which I've found to be very, they've got some great mixes of certain natural supplements for, you know, to help many things, whether it be colon cleanses, metabolic cleansing, detox, and talking of which, with detox, you probably find, AJP, that there's a lot of people that will just say, oh, I have to go on a detox. They go on a detox and they get sick. Or they go on a diet, you know, after the festive season. They say, right, that's me. I'm on my New Year resolution. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to go on a detox. They get sick, right? And they just do it. But the reason is they're not nutrifying their body before the detox. So there's so many things that we can advise people on, you know, away from the mainstream, you know, when it comes to, because they go to other shops, leading stores, as they call it, for their supplements, and the government has basically stated the strength that these high street stores can sell, and they're not the right strength that people require, and that is why people are still, they're saying, oh well, this is just expensive urine, you know, and it's not very good, and they say it's not helping them. And the reason it's not helping them, it's not the sufficient strength required for the body. So this is why we've just kind of gone, we've outsourced, and we've gone to companies that can provide the best sort of nutraceuticals, so to speak, you know.
Excellent, excellent. So, now, I want to cram in lots of tunes, right? Because, mm-hmm. You know, we've got some friends. It's wonderful to be able to do this. So,
It's great. Can I just say something?
Go ahead. Yeah.
There's a friend who is in intensive care at the moment. His name's Donald Kinnan. He's a really dear friend of mine, and he's basically touch and go. It's, you know, he's, the next 48 hours are crucial, and I was just wondering if you could dig out comfortably an album for him.
Do you want my version?
Yeah, do that. Do that.
Okay, I'll pull out a version of Comfortably Numb by what became of Future X, or the Maria Hall Band. So okay. We'll do that. I'll put that on in a while.
Okay.
But for the moment, you remember you mentioned Alan Murphy, who took over from
you?
Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
So this is Alan Murphy, the heavy drinker, indeed. Alan Murphy there with Heavy Drinker. Uncanny feeling, yeah. Of listening to a man who's now dead, John Martin. And so this is your friend who took over the art center where you heard us play earlier and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yep.
So meanwhile, back in 2015, and now you're talking with about using stem cells. So you're basically stem cells come from various places, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that here's where I go into the twilight zone a little bit. Hang on, let me just bring us into the twilight zone. I think that's number 12 here. Does that bring us into twilight zone? F12. There we go. There we go. So we're now entering the twilight zone because a couple of years ago, I had a guest on my show who was part of the secret space program and the secret government. What you call a whistleblower. And one of the things he's talking about is when people get injured on these programs. I mean, like we're talking Star Trek, you know, they had this technology a long time before we did.
They did.
And when people get injured, he says he uses pig's bladder extract. Is that similar to the product that you're talking about?
No, it isn't in a way. I haven't heard of that one, to be honest. This one, the one that I do with is the basically it's the plant extract from the sea called phycoidin, AFA, and the Chinese root called Fodai. And what they had found is that all of these had capabilities of helping produce, helped to create and adult stem cells in the body. And so far, it's been the only three in the world that they can actually find at the moment. And this is what they use for stem tech, for stem enhance and stem flow, and obviously stem equine for horses. And they're stem pets as well, you know, so it's like basically what's in that principle, so it's from the plant life. So there's not for the pig's bladder. All I know is look from the pigs, they were using the thyroxin from the pigs for humans to produce the thyroxin, you know, for the thyroxin tablets. And that comes from pigs because obviously there is quite a relation between the anatomy and the pig and the human being, apparently, with especially the way you're making him the heart transplants were from pigs as well. So, I mean, there's so many things that we don't know, you know, and as you say, so that fellow you're talking to. Having said that, I'd heard a story about a guy that was like some kind of stem cell powder on the tip of his finger and it grew back, you know, so, well, you never know.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of stuff we're talking about. The stem cell powder you stick on the end of your finger and it turns back into finger. And, you know, we saw Stargate, right, in the 90s. We saw Stargate, and they get in the box, they're all broken, they get out of the box, they're all complete again.
Yeah.
And really, that technology is available. We know it's available. And what we're doing right now is kind of doing the redneck DIY version, right?
Yeah.
So you're discovering the very common elements that it takes to rebuild bodies, you know, your stem cells, your minerals, your supplements. And then we're applying a frequency that creates the appropriate environment for the body to regrow, which is the same as the sarcophagus box. What do you think of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, you look at the studies that Bruce Lipton had done, and this was a way back in the 60s, you know, when he was cloning stem cells, and he was taking the nucleus out of cells, and they would go on to live, because everyone was, even in schools today, they still teach that the nucleus is the brain of the cell. It's not just the genetic makeup, it's the DNA. It doesn't just hold the DNA. People were led to believe, as you know yourself, it was the brain of the cell. But he was taken back in the 60s, he was taking the nucleus out of the cell and putting it in petri dishes and then putting them in different environments. And he was obviously adding different frequencies to it, and it was producing bone. They would reject, they would recognise food, they would recognise toxins and go away for them. Some were producing muscle, it would be depending on the environment. Now, that obviously went on to find out, well, you're not a victim of your own genes. So, like the, you know, getting back to the stem cells, it's, you know, it's obviously the stem cell is something that can turn into anything. And as you, if you're going to change the frequency, because obviously the cells are giving out frequency, so if there's something wrong in the organ's giving out a frequency to say, excuse me, I'm hurt here, you know, there's something wrong, there's something going on, then the stem cell goes in to be part of that organ for regeneration. Now they say that the liver is the only organ that it can regenerate, but, you know, I do believe that there is technology there to regenerate just about every organ in the body. Definitely.
So that, you know, that makes, like you said, Star Trek like mm-hmm. healing abilities mm-hmm. here in the 21st century. Yeah. You know, a lot of the science fiction films were right because mm-hmm. it's been planned that way, you know, because they had this stuff years before we did. You know, they had flat screens in the 60s, you know, they had you know, holographic displays in the 80s, you know, stuff like that. And here we are, we're getting like the trickle down. It really is the trickle down. It's just, we just get the diesel. So while we're here, what was the name of your friend who wanted a shout out and Comfortably Numb? So I've just lined
Donald,
it up. So this
Donald
is
Kennan.
I'm sorry?
For Donald.
So yeah. This is for you, Donald. This is the band that eventually became Steel Badge with Comfortably Numb.
Hello. Is there anybody in? Just nod if you can hear me. Well, I couldn't ease your pain, but you have your feet to gain. Relax, I need some information first. And just the basic facts, can you show me where it hurts? There is no pain you are receiving. This is a ship, no coming. You will not understand. This is not how I am.
Yeah.
Very much that did the trick, didn't it? Right, we'll go for a quick break and we'll be back with Queen, AC/DC, Elvis Presley, all sorts of stuff. I'm not sure. Spit of Adele and what else? Buzzcocks.
La-di-la-di-la-di-da. That was my band, Steel Badge, from 2 years ago. It was a wedding of, we were a wedding band and we used to do Comfortably On. So there you go. There's for Donald. And, we could even put this all up on YouTube because, none of these tunes are copyrighted and, controlled by YouTube. So, it was all great. So, final half hour. We were talking earlier about the stem cells and the research and how stem cells can help heal you. And really, you know, number one, we need to change our attitude towards medicine. In that a doctor does not make us better. We make ourselves better.
They don't. It's not in a doctor's contract to cure you, right? And in fact, when I say cure means preserve, doesn't it? Everything seems to be a play in words, you know. To restore, that's what has to happen. You know, people have to be empowered, so to empower themselves, empower their health, and to restore their health, that's what it should be about. That's what medicine should be. But at the moment, and it has been for the last 100 years since the Flexner Report, when Carnegie and Rockefeller wanted to sell their petrochemicals, and they thought, well, who would take our stuff? You know, who would take our wares? And they sent Abraham Flexner out, and, you know, when you think about it, they were throwing money at them. So if an allopath is getting millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars flung at them to produce their medicine, and they're obviously going to do better than a naturopath or an Ayurvedic practitioner or a chiropractor or an osteopath or anyone in the holistic medicine. And that's what it is. They just, as Peter Glidden had said, there's a huge piece of the, but all part of one big huge piece of the pie. And allopathic medicine get the whole lot, and it was wrong. And for 100 years, it's been, basically it's eugenics. That's what it boils down to. And what I believe is there is a Holocaust going on just now, and it's orchestrated by the pharmaceutical industry. And part of this big paradigm shift is, and it is shifting. It really is shifting. We more and more people are looking towards naturopathic medicine. You even look at, I mean, who's the top family in the UK? The Royals, the Saxe-Coburg, the Windsors, whatever you want to call them. These people, they go to naturopaths. They don't go to allopathic medicine, you know, because they want them to be well. Their practitioner is a naturopathic doctor, you know. So what does that tell you, you know?
It tells you that they go, mm-hmm. they go to a healer and we go to the vet.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what a vet does is not make an animal better, but make an animal mm-hmm. functional.
Of course. In fact, a friend of mine is Europe's first naturopathic vet, the natural vet, Paul Boland. He's based in Liverpool. A lovely guy. He's actually going to be coming up here in April to meet with us to discuss naturopathic health and the stem cell products. But what he's done some incredible work in Liverpool. He's helped, people with cats and dogs. I mean, he's got amazing results for cancer. And all because he looks at nutrition, nutraceuticals, and not pharmaceuticals. But like you're saying, vets, doctors, and what people have forgotten about is a dentist. They think, I go to my doctor, and he maybe give me a toxic medicine, and they realise it themselves. And they get sick with it, but they go back. right? And then they keep going back, and then eventually they may say, no, I'm not going to my doctor again, I'm going to start getting natural things, we'll start supplementing. But here's a brief, they go to a dentist, and the dentist does the exact same thing, it fills them full of fluoride, right? And you now know that fluoride is highly toxic, probably one of the most toxic substances. And they're getting fluoride, they're getting amalgam, mercury fillings. Another thing, the most toxic substance. And but people still cure.
Oops, there's he gone. Where'd he go? I think he's probably his battery ran out on the phone. Ah, right. Let's see what we're going to have to do. Where's he gone on there? Maybe we'll call him back on Skype for the last 15 minutes. where are you going? where are you going? Uh-huh. Right, okay, so time for another tune, I think. This is the exact opposite of what I want Mick to do. This is called Keep Away, and this features my special guitar pedal effect, which we called Super Clanger, which is this note that can fly around all sorts of places. So this is Keep Away.
Come on, doctors, come on, please. with help from Super Clanger.
There you go, Super Clanger, my favourite guitar pedal effect. I was just listening to that. Wow, it's really good to hear some of this stuff because, you know, it's sitting on a hard drive and nobody ever hears it unless I drag it out and slap it and put it on the player. So I'm having as much of a good time as you are, and I hope everybody's enjoying this in the chat room. And let us know if you enjoy these tracks, and we'll put more on. I've got loads of this stuff. You know, we were gigging for years.
Yeah, it was fun. It really was. Really enjoyed it all. Yeah, fond memories. Really fond memories.
Yes, indeed. So now the final thing.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, this is about 2004, 2005. Came across the idea of photonic acupuncture, and you mentioned it very briefly, a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And this was involving, again, this is a specific frequency, and this is a frequency that is of light, and it's a color of red, which is known as 660 nanometers. Now, I just want to sort of put the background on this.
Okay, sure.
We have fascia in our body, whether this is white material that surrounds all of our organs and things like that. Yep. It's not just a bag. It's actually a communication system, and it's like a fiber optic network. And it runs on a fiber optic principle that is the same as, you know, just like a radio wave is modulated onto the frequency. So our brain waves modulate this frequency, pulse it through our nervous system, and it goes to all points in the body. And those organs that resonate, that rings with, then become activated, and that's how the signals are sent. It's all done by sound. So, having said all that, the sound is modulated onto this specific frequency. Now, if this frequency is lacking in your body, at certain places you may have injury or something that will change this frequency getting through, then you become sick. Tell me what the commercial application, not the commercial, the healing, the medical applications of light is. Now, I was, as I said, I was messing around with this like 10 years ago. I got the frequencies, I've got a whole bunch of LEDs that do it, I've got a device that does it, but you know me, I'd rather talk on the radio rather than sort of put myself out as a healer. But well, if people want to have a go of it, they can come round.
I'm not even, I can't get your voice, but no, the commercial list, that's something, all honesty, that I don't, Karen is definitely the one to speak to for that, which she could probably come on the show at another point. She had a really bad case of a virus, and that's the one that was going about last week, so she was coughing, so much the past couple of days, and unfortunately she didn't come on, but the nano... the energy nano wellness system is basically that one is Karen's field. That's her machine, and all I do know is the specific points that the meridians in the body, the acupuncture meridian, is where she'll place the pen to help put the good frequencies back into the body. So as I say, but with regards to the commercial use of light and medicine, that's something that's not in my field, but it's definitely in Karen's, and you'd probably speak to her about that, no problem.
Cool, because, I mean, as I said, I've been interested in all forms of frequency healing, and this is one of them. Obviously aromatherapy is a frequency,
Well, of course it is,
and,
They
even talk about notes, and it can be quite specific. Specific situations. But anyway, in the closing minutes, publicise the heck out of yourself, Mick. Go ahead.
Sorry? Oh, yeah. Right, well, the name of our clinic is Energy Med Wellbeing. You can get it as an energymedwellbeing.com.
Is that E-N-E-R-G?
N-R-G.
Ah,
N-R-G. medwellbeing.com, and there's that's the website. There's also the number to call would be 07 806 855 497. They'll get me there, and the email address is energymedwellbeing@gmail.com, and you could get us there. But feel free, if you're wanting to know anything about the Douglas Laboratories or the UK supplements, or in fact the StemTech, you know, certainly get in touch with us if you want to know more information. You know, be happy to you know, send you any emails if you want to give us a call. So as I say, you know, thanks so much for having me on the show tonight, and I certainly would love to come back again along with Karen, and she'd shed a bit more light on a light pen.
Mick, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much, and I've really enjoyed chewing the fat.
Yeah,
with you, my man.
Chewing the cunt.
So there was. Where's my outro? There's my outro. Okay. So thank you very much, everybody. We'll be back in a few minutes with Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank Group. Get your healing requests out and ready for the second hour, and stand by for some cool teachings on how to heal. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. This was Ever Beyond.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.